Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Short enough to read a second time? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have loved us with a love that we can never comprehend fully. But may we indeed receive it, and let it make us to know you, to share that love with each one around us, and let that love even reach to the depths of who we are, to bring forth the healing, cleansing, the restoration, and the life that you've promised to us in Jesus Christ. We ask you, as this message goes forth, that your promise to us would be fulfilled. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. With the promise God's put on my heart that there are people here today, they're going to receive some healing that's long been needed, I'm almost wary of what I might say to infringe on that. But the Lord has put a message on my heart that has come forth over the years of my life and over the years of this church's life as a sense of established in history. That God has the ability to change a history, if you will, of our personal life, to put an end to a cycle of destruction or pain, to begin anew. Because the most important thing to know is when God comes, life can begin again. We can start over, because God is a God of second chances. I want to share with you, first of all, as a backdrop for the message, what the Lord has put on my heart for us as a church to be doing. To me, it's one of the most wonderful things and most healing things that He has shown me, and affirming things that helps so many people. For the Lord has put on my heart that He's raising up the true body of believers, that He's anointing them to be and to do everything that the first Christians did on the day of Pentecost, to manifest healings, witnesses, prophesying, to speak out the word of God boldly. And I'm not talking just ministers, I'm talking the true body of Christ that will receive and believe that. That He's preparing His people, but He's spoken to my heart that He needs an instrument, something to place in people's hand to be able to help them to do that, to help them to claim all the promises of God. Because the church has been for years saying that that's one person's job, and not everybody's. For example, in Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, it says the various gifts. And it says, for one is prophecy, one is healing, one is speaking in the tongue, one is divination, another is this. And what he's talking about there is specific gifts that an individual has. But when you have the Holy Spirit, all those gifts are available to you as are needed. It's not like if you see someone else has the gift of healing and you have the gift of teaching, that you don't get taps in on the healing gift. You only have the one. That's not how it is. The way it is that you have a specific gift, but all the power of the Holy Spirit is available to you as needed for ministry. What we've been learning over the years and have been told is that we each have a task, a simple ministry, and that's it. And we walk that straight and narrow path of that ministry. But God says that every last facet of the Holy Spirit is available to every single believer. And it's available for the time it's needed for that moment of ministry. And you might say, well, I don't have a ministry. Well, that's about to change. For the true believers in Christ Jesus, He's raising the church up for people to stand on His promises, to claim boldly those promises, and not be afraid of them. He's been speaking this to my heart ever since about 6 or 8 months ago, and I've been very hesitant to say, well, when, Lord? When is this going to happen? But here lately, He's begun to show me what He wants done and how. And the instrument He wants, first of all, is not one single instrument for that. Because He's raising up people all across the country and all around the world with the same idea. I thought it was a personal revelation that I got to start this, but I was just a part of it. You know me, I like to think, hey, I got it all. But you know, God shares with everybody. And as I was speaking with a friend of mine yesterday and today, what they were saying is that God has begun to raise up their church for a ministry of claiming the full promises of God. And I said, wait a minute. I haven't told you about that yet. How can you say that? And so all of a sudden I realized, you know, this is something that's not just us. This is global. And the reason God is doing that is because He wants to have the grace dispensation pour out through the Holy Spirit in this age. But He needs a people willing to manifest it boldly. And what He's saying is, it's time. It's time to train and raise up and to claim those promises and to stand on them. Last Sunday, we looked a little bit about the beginnings of that and how to establish that. But the first promise, the very first promise that we have to embrace and stand on is that God loves me. God loves you. That when God comes to you, He doesn't come giving you His love. He comes to you giving Himself to you. That God does not hold back anything. He gives His entire being to you. And when we receive God, we receive all that He is. When we receive His Word, Jesus, and the spoken Word, and it becomes faith, all the power of God is with that, now abiding in us. Now that's monumental. That's big. Real big. Because that means we're carrying around all the authority of God inside of us, and we're not doing a whole lot with it. But God says that's ready to change now, that He's getting ready to raise the people up to do that. And He's showing me some specific things for me. He's showing other people specific things for them. You see, there are people, I told a few weeks ago about a friend of mine who's a prophet, and I understand now what the Lord is doing. There are people who've been prophesying, but they haven't been doing it dedicated 100%. They've said, well, I have other gifts too, but now God is raising them up to be totally consecrated for that ministry, completely, given over to that and nothing else. And that's what God is doing. He's raising up a people that want to be consecrated, sanctified to His work. And He's ready to do that. But the first promise is that God loves us. Now we might say, I don't deserve that. I have done so many things in my life. I've pushed God away time and time again. Well, God doesn't love you because of what you've done. God doesn't love you because of what you might be. God loves you because God is love. And He comes to you, and He comes to you as Himself. And He has no alternative but to love you if He's going to come to you. So when God comes, you have love coming. That's a good thing. But in the same breath, if God loves me and I receive that, then I have to accept that I can be loved. And if I can be loved by a God that knows me completely, then there must be a possibility of me doing the same thing for myself, that I can love me too. It goes hand in hand as part of the first promise, that if God loves me and I receive His love for me, then I have to be able to love myself too, or else I haven't really received God's love. Let's take that the next step further. If God loves me, and therefore I love me, then God must have that same love for you. And if he has it for you, and he doesn't seem to have any problems with it, then I can love you. Because God does. And you can love you. And you can love me because God does. And it's not then based on what we think, but upon God's first action of loving us. Now that's kind of a heady way to say it, but let's say it this way. If God loves everyone equally, then we, as we become more godly, become the same way. We become more Christ-like, more loving. We open and embrace one another, despite what we think, because what we think generally gets in the way of that. But you know what? God says this, I know my thoughts toward you. That's what God says in Jeremiah. I know my thoughts toward you. And we're going, uh-oh. And he says, I have plans for you. And usually we say, oh, I see fire. And he says, no, I have plans for you to give you hope and a future, to prosper you, to give you joy. That's the first promise of God with his love, is to raise you up, to lift you out of the muck and the mire of having to base things on non-spiritual relationship. God is calling us to a higher plane, the believers to a higher plane in Christ Jesus. When he raises the church up, he's calling us for healing, to restore the relationship back to one in Christ Jesus, to make sure that the tie that binds is binding. If there's something broke down there, healing needs to take place. Hence the word for today, to stand on the promise of God's love, because healing is in need. In each of our lives, there's a place we can be healed. In our relationships with other people, there's places that can be healed where we're not able to love fully and genuinely because we have a block or resistance, or we're scared, or we're not willing to risk, or we think we're going to get hurt, any of those things. Let me tell you, God loved us and it hurt. He died loving us. But he said it's worth it. Some of us haven't gotten to the point where loving is worth dying over. But in the name of Jesus, if we love in his name, it is. And it does say to crucify yourself to the flesh. So in a sense, we do die. To live spiritually, something has to die. And as we go forward, we see that there's a healing that's needed even amongst people here in our church. That there's relationships that have, over the past few months, been hurt. And the Lord says, it's time to heal them. It's time to be free, that the church can go forward. That today's the day for that. That we can stand on those promises, be healed, and move together in unity. And the Lord has put that on my heart to say this, that when love comes to us by God, we can share in that love and draw on our unity in Christ Jesus. Because we are one in him. And whatever happens to another amongst us hurts us all. If one person in our fellowship is grieving, we all grieve with them. If they're hurting, we all hurt too. There isn't a person that doesn't suffer when someone loses a loved one. There isn't a person among us that doesn't suffer when someone has difficulty maintaining a family or when a home breaks up. We all hurt with that person. And so when there's a hurt between, we all share in the grief because that's a spiritual hurt. There's something that needs replaced, back in place. And the Lord says to do that is to stand on the promise that God loves us and that he's called us to love beyond differences. Beyond differences of opinion, beyond differences of favorite teams. You know, it's time for people who like Ole Miss and State to say, we can just dislike each other on one level, but we love each other in Jesus Christ. and the Alabama fans were still working on. But you know what I mean? That God is calling us to that because the church does not need that in it. It needs to be raised up as He's called us to do. And if He needs to heal us, praise His name. Let it be done. It hurts to be healed, though, folks, because you have to let go of the hurt that inspires it. But today is the day. And you can take a deep breath and say, I'll grit my teeth and go through this and let it be over and be healed. And let the healing move through me by your power of the Holy Spirit. And folks, I got to tell you this. If you're one in Christ Jesus, the only one that can bring that unity is the Holy Spirit. You can't just want to. You have to ask the Lord to intervene, to intercede, and to help. You know, there's folks who've had need of healing for relationship with their parents. Some people, their parents have been dead for years, and they still need healing there. I talked with a lady on yesterday about some things that were paining her. And I've known this friend of mine now for 12 years. Coincidence, she's from Florida. And one of my best friends. And she was in one bad marriage and into another relationship. And she kept pushing him away. And I said, I think I know why. I've known you 12 years. I think I can finally say something and you won't get mad at me. And she said, what? And I said, you feel like you're abandoned. That every time you get close to someone, you're going to be abandoned so you don't get close anymore. And she said, how did you know that? And I said, after 12 years of seeing it, I figured I could finally tell you. But that relationship with her first husband and then the next bad relationship and the next one did not come from that relationship. It came from the fact that her parents didn't support her and encourage her when she was younger. And so she felt abandoned as a child. And God needs to intervene with the Holy Spirit to heal that wound. Even though her parents are long since deceased, they still run her life. And God wants to heal that. And that's the only way that it can. And sometimes we harbor things against someone in the past that we now throw at someone in the present. Well, you know, you remind me of somebody, and therefore I'm going to take out what I think on them toward you. We don't say that, but it's the underlying workings. And we carry that out. And what God is saying is, it stops now. It's over. It's time to relate healthy in Christ Jesus on spiritual terms, because God is raising up His church to heal the rest of the world of the same sickness. It's a world out there that's sick and starving, and that's the message they need. He needs a tool in their hands, and it's His people raised up. I thought it might be something I might write and have published, but it's His church that He raises up. And He's calling them to be the tool to change His world and bring in the spiritual dispensation of the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. But we have to claim the promises first. Judgment begins at the house of God. It begins here. It begins now. Love is what is the basis of all of God's promises. If we can't stand on that one, we can't embrace any of them. We can't reconcile without love. We can't have marriages without love. We can't have friendships without love, because love breeds the second promise of trust. And if there's no trust, there's no relationship. Plain and simple. And if there's no love, there's no trust. And God is raising His church up to what He says is His standard for us. That we've been content with less than that. And I grieve inwardly because judgment starts at His house with each person. And I bear responsibility for every word and action I take in regards to that. I thank the Holy Lord that today at least one person gets delivered. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, why does love sometimes become so hard to receive and sometimes hard to share? Why is it that we must put things in the way of that? We ask you to help us to strip those things out of the way, to raise our life and our eyes to the standard of Christ Jesus, to not settle for less than that, which is a life based solely on your promises. May we embrace them today. May we indeed claim the healing that you have for us. We thank you that it's possible. We thank you that it's available. We thank you that it's for us. Amen. Now, if you look in the bulletin, there is no closing hymn. There is no benediction. There is a response and a call to action. And those two things go hand in hand today, because the call to action is based on the response. Folks, this is something to me that's going to ask you to risk a little bit. Maybe for some of you, a lot. There's a promise in the Old Testament and a praise, I think it's called Hallel. It's a type of praise that thanks God for what's about to occur. A praise for God's victory that's coming. It's the same kind of praise when they marched around Jericho one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven, they shouted the praise and triumph of victory before it happened. It's that kind of praise. And so what I'm asking you to do is to risk trusting God that He's going to deliver you and each one of us to the healing and the restoration that we each need. No matter what it might be, no matter where it is, if it's in your family, in your relationships, if it's in your home, if it's your work, wherever it might be, I'm going to ask you to risk today. And I'm going to ask you to risk in a way that may make you uncomfortable. But it's a very powerful way to let God know that you receive it. Because our response today is, I'm asking you to join with me here at the front of the church to lay all the burdens, the things that have kept you from loving completely. If it's an individual in your life that you've had some animosity toward, if it's your parents, if it's a whole slew, pot full of people, to bring that whole pot up here to the altar and set it down and say, God, I've harbored this. I've kept this. I want you to have it. I want to be free of it. I want to be free to love and free to share the love that you've given me with the people around me. I want to stand on that promise, and I'm going to do it now, Lord. And I'm going to leave it here with you, and I'm going to walk out of this congregation today alive. I'm going to walk out with all my loving ability intact because you've raised me up. And I'll not settle for less than that anymore. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do as our response. The call to action is simply to let the healing begin at the house of God. To let the healing begin in your heart, which is the house of God. And if there is any reconciliation you need to make, to leave it there and say, Lord, I make my part now. I invite you then to stand where you are. And for those of you that are hungering and thirsting for that kind of healing in your life, for that kind of deliverance, for that kind of peace, that kind of joy that only God can give, I invite you to just come down and we're going to say a word of prayer together and leave those burdens here. Never to pick them up, but to say, Lord, I stand on your promise today. I stand with you. Raise me up as part of your church. Raise me up to be the tool of ministry that you're calling in this day and age to reach the world for you. Because you are the Holy Lord, and your holy people can indeed carry his word out. I invite as many of you that would to come forward at this time.